Connie.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
You're the first one here.
Okay.
And I had had some phone problems, so there might not be a lot of people coming, but we'll start in a minute or so.
I'm good. Thank you. I had the experience of time standing still this morning.
Baruch Hashem.
I had so much to do before the call, and I swear the clock just stopped. And I still had 15 minutes to spare.
I understand.
I love it.
It's nice when it happens, isn't it?
Yes.
The thing is to get it to happen all the time.
Right. I've had it happen in traffic where it just seems like I sail there. I get behind the right people that just like enclose me, and we just go as like a group through the city. I don't know how to describe it, but I'm aware of it when it happens.
Well, it's good to be aware of it. We'll wait one more minute and then we'll start.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Sounds like you're shuffling papers in the background, which is okay.
I just didn't know the date, so I had to look on the newspaper because I don't even know the date. That's when I remembered it was Father's Day.
Understand.
My husband's at a euphonium conference for the whole USA, actually left this morning, so we're not going to be celebrating Father's Day here today, so I get to tell you at least.
I appreciate it. And really, Father's Day is every day, so just like Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole life commitment.
That is true.
Something to think about it before you decide.
Well, in this generation and earlier generations, there was never a choice. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoas. Anna Bakoas. Gedula Chimi.
Ka
ta
ti
seruga Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel
Rinat
Mumtasa
Benu
Taharenu
Nora
Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Borshe
Tuka Devaha
Shamren Nungimo Dalit Yud Kafshir Barhem
Taharam Rakam Mesek Kata,
Tami,
Amen.
Et tetrae, saditach gimel. Chasim kadosh.
Kadosh, chasim kadosh. Et rom tu beka. Naya. Adeta.
Tet fushbet, tet munayim. Yachib ge'eh.
Yachib
ge'eh.
Ha'pene.
The letters of the month of Sivan. The Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation Teumim, the twins. The astrological sign of Gemini, the Resh and the Zion, together have a gematria of 207, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word light, which is Or, and the phrase Adon Olam, master of the universe, and also the phrase En Sof, the endless world. Shavatenu Kabel.
Shavatenu Kabel. Rishma Sakatenu. Yodea. Tavumot.
Shin Kufav Zadiyutav. We're going to now separate between the right column and left column energies of that creation. And we'll use the 13 attributes of mercies to do so. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rahum Vehanun. Erech Rahim. Verav Chesed Be'emet. Notzer Chesed La'alafim. Nosea un wafesha, bechata'a v'nake. We're now going to connect to the year 5777, known as the year of the goat, by studying two verses, one from Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor. When we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to parse them or permute them into three Hebrew words, Satz, Ki, Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we study is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tavshinayin Zion, is concealed, and it is concealed by separating the letters of the name by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai, Yohei Wahei, Eloheichem Tadebaku, Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, the year of the pause, there are also two verses to study. The first one we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yu limat ve'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot vayehaskum acheichem ha'leviim. Ad kelo tam lacha, v'ad yitkachu ha-kohanim, ki ha-livim, yishrei levav, Lehitkadesh me hakohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters of each word, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Ata A Re Ka Ha. And the second verse that connects to the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohewa Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewa Turola. In the year 5775, that has the energy of swallowing death forever, there are three verses that we study. One is, the first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo yemimeni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. The next is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyam, asher yitchabei sham ushavtem elai yechachon, v'halachti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'hipasti. O Tov, the call Alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. And the year 5774, which is the year of peace in the Middle East, there's only one verse that connects to this energy, and that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati shakan tachtav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. Bene avla la anoto ka asher barishona. And now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar, from Parashah Yitro, Pasuk 29. This has the energy of certainty. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutsha barichu ishkin te bithilu. Urchimud hilud lu urchimud. Liyachta l'shem yud hei b'vav hei. V'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. V'yihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konanei. Aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konaneihu. Rabbi Abba Amar b'kama atar. Ane nan de kucha, perichu koma di aved leela witata, tolaihu kishot viovada, dikshot, veleid lach mila bialma, ivae barnash, bedach yaleya, mineya ulan haga. Beya dehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikola itzderich bealma. Now we're going to scan the 72 names of God in the way we've been doing it the last week, which is to scan the, and for today we'll scan the first four lines first four rows. We'll then speak the fifth row, and then we'll scan the balance. So please scan the first four rows. Yohewa lahehe ko kayo. Kawa ko menuda anu yo ehe ame rehe ayo yoza. And please scan the last four rows. And now we'll do the 72 names from the Tzaddikim in that exact same manner. Please scan the first row, four rows. Yo, yo, wa, la, he, he. Ta'ako menuda anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za. And scan the last four rows. And this Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 24th day of Sivan, Rabbi Moshe ben Shlomo HaKohen, Rabbi Abraham Salim, Rabbi Masud HaKohen El-Hadad, and the Tzaddikim who chose to leave the 25th day of Sivan, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, very famous Tana, Rabbi Yishmael Cohen Gadol, also a very famous Tana, Rabbi Hanina Segin HaKohanim, Rabbi David Miralitz, Rabbi Baruch Shimon Nirsen, Rabbi Abraham Barzani, Rabbi Yisachar Dov Lifshitz, Morenu Rabbeinu Chacham Mordechai Eliyahu, and the eighth verse of the Ant Batoach, we say in a whisper. Today's class continues our classes on the goodness of the land of Israel. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. I believe it's in the 18th row, the right-hand column. That'll bring you to the landing pages for the goodness to the land of Israel. Then please scroll down to class 3A. And that will open up where we will begin reading. The land of Canaan has been subjugated under the lyre and the sweet harp. And this is continuing chapter 2, section 2, that we left off last week. Therefore, all the other six nations, despite their own names, are referred to by her name, the land of Canaan. Similarly, as the Arizal wrote regarding the mystery of the table on the river, that the table represents the Malchut, the feminine that is above the river, the masculine, that is like the diaphragm on top of the liver, as mentioned in the Zohar, in the Parashah of Simchas. The diaphragm represents the feminine and the liver itself the masculine. The situation of the feminine above the masculine is specifically referring to the land of the children of Ammon, for they are the Klipot. Yet in the realm of holiness it is written, and the land is my footstool, as well as the verse, and God shall be king upon the entire land. Therefore, regarding holiness, the land is called Eretz Yisrael, for that connotes that she is underneath the masculine. Then the land is called desire, for the word Kana'an spelled the first letters in the verse, Ki nirta avona, her iniquity has been forgiven. The word nirta implies not only forgiveness, but also desire. In other words, her sins have been forgiven, hence she, the Jews, are once again desired. That land that was once Canaan, defiled by the seven nations, is now the land of desire. This is the mystery of the iniquities becoming merits, as can be seen from the following verse. Raise up a song and sound of the tof, the drum. Through the songs that are the songs of the mighty, then sound of tof, drums. This will break Lamed Lamed, whose numerical value is that of tof, 480. And then Kinor Na'amim, Im Nevel, sound the sweet harp with the lyre. The first letters spell Kana'an. In other words, that which the land of Canaan was under the control of, namely the tof, the drum, and the machol, the tambourine, who are the two harlots, Lamed Lamed and Machlat, and this was hinted to by Lamed Lamed having the value of tof, and Machlat being spelled like machol, has now been turned over into Nevel the Kinor, the lyre and sweet harp. Those instruments are in the hands of the side of holiness, under the providence of Hashem. Hashem, as Yud-Heh, is hinted at in the word Nevel, the Nun hinting at the 50 gates of understanding, and the remaining two letters, Bet and Lamed, spelled Lev, which means heart. The letters Vav He of God's name are hinted to by the word Kinor, the Kaf and the Vav of that word values 26, which is the numerical value of the ineffable name Hashem, while the remaining two letters, Nun and Resh, hint at the aspects of Zeran, Pin, and Nukva. This is why the first letters of Kinor Ma'amim, Im Nevel, the sound of the sweet harp with the lyre, spells Kana'an. This indicates that the land of Kana'an has been subjugated under the lyre and sweet harp, which represents Chachma and Bina, and Tiferet and Malchut. All of this was only possible because of the merits of our forefathers, as it is written. Moreover, I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. That is also hinted to in the fact that the word Kinor, Namim, Im, Nevel, have the same numerical value as Abraham, 248, Isaac, 208, and Jacob, 182, totaling 638. In their merit, the land of Canaan left the rule of the Kitzonim, the external forces, and entered the domain of holiness, the name Hashem. My commentary. Once Abraham entered the land, he starts the transformation from the negative system to the positive system. This was completed by Isaac staying in the land and Jacob returning with the 12 tribes, the last of which were born in the land. This is how the yud and hey are added to the word Canaan, in my opinion. This is what is meant by the verse, great is God and much praised. When God is exceedingly great, when he is in the city of our God, the mount of his holiness, that is also, and God is in his holy sanctuary. There God's name is not complete except for the place of his holy sanctuary, which is the Holy Land. As in the verse, Yismachu hashamayim v'tagel haaretz. The heavens will be glad and the land of Eretz Yisrael shall rejoice. Note that the initials spell the ineffable name, for there is Eretz Yisrael is the gate of heaven, the place where the Yud-Heh joins the Vav-Heh. My commentary. Only in the land of Israel can the ineffable name become complete. That's the end of the section 2. Now for section 3, titled The Sanctification of the Mind. Behold, the Arizal has written that Eretz Yisrael had 10 nations living in her, for they correspond to the 10 attributes she has. Yet the Jews only conquered 7 of those nations, parallel to the 10 attributes of holiness that existed, 10 attributes of defilement. Of the 10 attributes of defilement, the Jews were only able to vanquish the lower 7. Yet the 3 upper attributes, they were unable to succeed. For those 3 are very great and intangible. Their correspondence is as follows. The Kini correspond to the land's Bina. That is why the value of Kini is 161, which is connected to the spelling out of Bina. The Kinizi correspond to her Chachma, which is called Zaken, elderly, the same letters that spell Kenaz, the county of the Kenazi. As our sages have written in Kiddushin, part of the Talmud, Zaken is he who has acquired Chachma, wisdom. Therefore, the Chachma of the Klipa is called Keniz. The Kadmoni correspond to her Keter, and inclusively it is called Eretz Kanaan. For Kanaan, that which corresponds to her Malchut. She, the Malchut, contains within her all that is above her. My commentary. Learn this well. We learn that the Keter includes all of the other 9 Sephirot. Now we learn that the Malchut has all of the 9 Sephirot above it. In this case, it is Da'at, not Keter. Thus, the end is in the beginning, and the beginning is in the end. This is a famous adage from Kabbalah. Being that Rachel is Eve, with a value of 19, which is the spelling out of the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh-Ma, 26 plus 19 is equal to 45. And the editor's note to help explain this. We are referring here to the partsuf called Rachel, which is aligned to the lower front of the partsuf of Jacob, namely Zeran 10. The 10 attributes that she contains have a value of 10 times 19, equaling 190. Hence we see the numerical value of Kana'an, 20 plus 50 plus 70 plus 50, and that equals 190, which is 19 times 10. That is Ketz Hayamim, the end of days, implying the world that is coming. Yet what is opposite that is Ketz Hayamim, implying the angel of death. One is the end of days, Ketz Hayamin, and the other is the angel of death, Ketz Hayamim. One letter difference, the difference between a final mem and a final nun. The Hebrew word for end is Ketz, Kuf Tzadi, and its gematria is 190. And that should help you understand the paragraph above. Continuing. If in my impoverished opinion that when Moses said, and it shall come to pass when I bring you into Eretz HaKana'ani, the Yud and the He have entered the land of the living. Eretz Kana'ani, 291 plus 205, has the same numerical value as Malchut, 496. The addition of the Yud-Heh enables the land to fully complete Malchut. That is why the verse says, "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter them and thank Hashem." Thank Yah. She is then called Eretz HaKadoshah, for she subsequently contains within her the Kadosh Kadoshim, the divine influence of the Chachma and Bina of the Malchut is as follows. The Chachma provides 10 miluim of the name Av, which are 10 times 46. The milui of Av is 46, derived from the value of the letters that fill the spelling of the letters of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, where the Heys are spelled with Yuds. Yud-Vav-Dalet, He-Yud, Vav-Yud-Vav, He-Yud. The bolded letters value 26, and the one that fills them equals 46. And just to complete the discussion, 46 plus 26 is 72. Bina provides 10 miluim of Hashem of Sag, which is 10 times 37. The milui of Sag works the same as the milui of Chachma. Yet with the difference of the Vav being spelled with an Aleph, and hence it becomes 37 and not 46. These are the mystery of the verse, then God fashioned the side that he had taken from Adam into a woman, and he brought her to man, that when she was brought in front of Adam, then she could connect. Then the partsuf of Rachel can connect with Zeranpin, otherwise known as Israel. Then she, Rachel, is called Eretz Yisrael, 291 plus 541, or 832. Whose numerical value is the same as the value of two miluim plus the two kolels, 460 and 370 plus 2 comes to 832. It is also known that the name Yud-Heh has three different miluim, with yuds, with olives, and with hays. because the hay can be spelled three different ways. When you spell out yud hay, or yud aleph, or completely with yuds, it becomes 300, which is the value of the letter shin. When you spell out the yuds with hays, it has a value of 120. And when you spell out with, well, it's reversed. When you spell out with olives, its value is 120. When you spell out with hays, the value is 200. And altogether, the 300 plus 200 plus 120 is 620, which equals the word keter. And if we add to that the three spellings of yud bav dalet hey yud, yud bav dalet hey hey, yud bav dalet hey aleph, which together equals 91, we arrive at the figure 111, which equals Eret HaKadosha. This indicates that at the time that she is receiving from Chokhmah and Bina, known as Yud Hey, which also are called Kodesh Kodeshim, she is then called Eretz HaKadosha, for she subsequently contains within her the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. This is also what Jacob there on Jim was thinking. I'm getting a lot of static, so I'd appreciate it if you'd mute your phone by pressing *6. This is also what Jacob there on Jim was hinting at when he said to Laban, the lower Elyon, the supernal whiteness, is as known in the drash of Adam Kadmon. Bring me my wife, the word is Ishti, referring to Rachel. In other words, Jacob, there on Tin, is preparing for and inviting the connection with Rachel, his nukva. That is why he used the word Chava, bring. What is happening on a deeper level, on a deeper plane, is that Zeranpin is asking of the supernal emanation, the lower Elyon, that now in the midst of the destruction, a rectification of the Nukva should be made. For through her after rectification, being called Eret HaKadosha, which is the value of Ishti, my wife, 711, as mentioned above. Then he too, Zeranpin, will merit to attain the name Yud Hey. That is why the verse continues. The Ahovah Halila Alita, and I will bring to her. The word Alita hints to us Al to Yud Hey, the name Yud Hey. This is how we see his request of the Yud Hey to be brought to Rachel. The intention of this is that at the time of the final redemption, when the Holy Land will be built up and the Holy Temple rebuilt speedily in our days, which is then the rectification of the Malchut of Atzilut, that Zeranpin will receive his mochin that are called Yud Hey in completion, and they will never leave him. Then they shall both wear one crown, as is hinted to in the verse, and the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Then Zeranpin and the Nukva shall ascend to the place of Chokhmah and Bina, and in the aspect of Yud Hey. At that point, God's name will no longer be Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Rather, it shall be Yud-Heh-Yud-Heh. And that is hinted at in the verse, on that day, Yud-Heh-Yud-Heh will be God, and his name shall be one. In Eretz Yisrael, the feminine is constantly connected to the masculine. It is also called Eretz Yisrael, as it says in the Tikkun HaZohar. The realm of Yetzirah rules in Eretz Yisrael. This can be understood from the concept that in Yetzirah is the place that Zerantin of Atzilut, called Yisrael, pleads. His Malchut and Yisod are called the living, the Livnat HaSapir, the chamber of sapphire, for they are always open to supply divine influence to Eretz Yisrael. Just as Livnat is feminine, while Sapir is masculine, so too Eretz is feminine and Israel is masculine. That is hinted to by the virtue of the numerical value of Livnat HaSapir, which is 482 plus 350. Including that of Eretz Yisrael. That shows how they are in line with each other. It is also called Eretz Yisrael for the reason that the eyes of God are watching her, and that the connection there is constant. Thus, the numerical value of 10 times God, He is the Lord, is equal to that of Eretz Yisrael. For in Eretz Yisrael, the feminine is constantly connected to the masculine. That is so because the seven lower Sephirot are incorporated in the upper three Sephirot. The general rule we can derive from all of the above is that the first three nations, the Keni, the Kenizi, and the Kadmoni, were not inherited by the children of Israel. Only in the future will the children of Israel merit this. This is hinted at being that the numerical value of Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni equals that of Israel, 541. Thus, the name Eretz Yisrael connotes that in the future, it will include those upper three as well. Nowadays, the word Israel hints at Lo Yarash, didn't inherit, meaning the upper three have not yet been attained. Yet in the future, Israel will hint to Lirosh, to me, as my head, implying that those three will then be as the head of the lower seven. And that is also why the first letters of those three nations are Kuf, Kuf, and Kuf, which stands for Kadosh, 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 signifying the three sanctifications of Keter, Chachma, and Bina, of Kedusha, holiness. Because God promised Abraham that he would give his descendants all 10 nations at the time of the binding of Isaac, God told Abraham, "Go to yourself, to the land of the Moriah." This is a hint to Abraham that the upper three, together with the Kolel of all 10 nations, will be 551, is the numerical value of the land of Moriah. Eretz Hamoriah is that 551. And Hamoriah is also comprised of the letters that spell Harem Yud He, exalt Yud in He. In other words, we had only inherited the seven lower Sephirot alone. Yet regarding the upper three known as Yud He, lift them up, Harem, in the future, at the final redemption, had Moses attained Yeshida, he would have had the power to attain the upper three for Eretz Yisrael. The time that the children of Israel were unable to conquer those three upper three was dependent on Moses. For despite his most lofty spiritual stature, he still had not attained the level of Yeshidah. And Yeshidah is the aspect of the Keter of Atzilut, which incorporates within itself the Chachma, Bina, and Daat, which is indicated by the 620, which is the Gematria of Keter. Rather, the highest Moses was able to attain was the level of Chaya, which is the Chachma of Atzilut, as is known from the Sefer HaGilgulim. Had Moses attained the level of Yeshidah, he would have had the power to attain the upper three, for Eretz Yisrael would abstract from them all aspects of holiness. When Mashiach will be revealed, he will merit the level of Yeshidah. That will be the source of his strength and the ability to attain those upper three for all of Israel. And God saw, however, that the Jews were going to make the golden calf. Hence, he only promised Moses the land of seven nations. It was for that very reason that Moses himself wasn't able to attain the level of Yeshidah. The Midrash Yalchut Shimoni writes, the rabbis said that the three nations that will in the future be given over to the children of Israel are the Edomites, the Moabites, and the children of Ammon, as it is written, for I shall not give you an inheritance from their land. Regarding Moab, it writes, do not distress. Kini is Esau, Kinizi is Ammon, and Kadmoni is Moab. In the days of Mashiach, they will be given over to the children of Israel to fulfill God's promise. At the time that all of the Jews shall enter the land will be fulfilled. Know that the land of Sihon and Og are part of the borders of those three nations. It is for this reason that the children of Gad and Reuben chose those areas as their portion of land. For in the future, that parcel of land shall be elevated to the level of the three upper Sephirot of holiness, even though they will not be sanctified until after the redemption. It is probably for that very reason that Moses is buried there, for he corresponds to the aspect of Da'at, one of the upper three Sephirot. And that is the end of section 3, and there's a lot of material in that section that a student of Kabbalah needs to understand and study, because there is so much gematria that is really very useful in other studies, other aspects of the teachings of Kabbalah. That's the end of our class for today. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you all a good week, Shavua Tov. I remind you that our Rosh Chodesh connection is next Saturday night. I hope you'll join us, because the month of Tammuz is one of the more negative months of the year, and it is important to take control of that month. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Take care, Connie. Thank you.